Good morning. Today is Friday, September 17th, 2021. I'm your host, Evan George, and welcome to Bostopian News. And here's what's happening in the news today. Now that precinct and ward level data is made available, we're able to see where Michelle Wu and Anissa Sabi George's strongholds are, and they are surprising absolutely no one. Anissa did very well in Southie and the eastern, more coastal parts of Dorchester, the predominantly white areas, and in West Roxbury, also Charlestown, and a little bit of the North End. Again, taking the whiter, more conservative areas. Michelle Wu, who can find support all over the map, but strongest in Roxbury, Mission Hill, Jamaica Plain, Roslindale, and downtown, Back Bay, Fenway. Michelle also did much better in Alston Brighton, East Boston, but both candidates missed out on Roxbury, Mattapan, and more western Dorchester, where Andrea Campbell and Kim Janey had their strongest support, though again, because of voter turnout disparities, not nearly enough people from those areas voted to push either Andrea or Kim over the threshold. I'll be doing a further deep dive into the data on a night show next week, so look forward to that. With voter turnout being depressingly lower than most people wanted, the talk about renewing same-day voter registration has begun, and Charlie Baker said he's against it because it's too complex. Continuing, we have lots and lots of opportunities for people to register right up until election day, and a lot of processes that are pretty easy to use to get there. That, of course, being a complete lie. We must register to vote 20 days before any election, which, of course, for our preliminary, coincides after the largest moving day of the city, being September 1st. 20 other states have same-day voter registration, and the idea that in Massachusetts we're not smart enough to figure out how to do it is ridiculous, and I hope that was the follow-up question. The reason they don't want it is because they don't want college students, graduate students, new renters to have a say in the communities they now live in. Period. End of story. The conservative think tank Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation waited right after Michelle Wu had her big victory to release their report yet again talking about the financial situation of the MBTA, all of which as a way of bashing Michelle Wu's idea of pushing for universal free public transportation. According to their report, the MBTA will be as much as $400 million short on its operating budget by the middle of 2023 and $13 billion short on its plans for maintenance and modernization over the next decade. Now, these reports come out once every 3 months, roughly. This one is naked in how obviously politically timed it is. However, what these reports never tell you is that the MBTA was born with debt. In the year 2000, we switched its funding model, restricting how much the MBTA could spend each year, and then we saddled it with billions of dollars from the Big Dig projects, literally creating a gigantic pool of debt that everyone knew the MBTA could never escape from. And this was a deliberate attempt to try to undermine public transportation in the hopes of privatizing it. This is a political decision about how we fund public transportation in this city and in this state. Up to 900 people and families from Afghanistan will be settling in Massachusetts as they escape the fallout of decades of our intervention and horrors in their home country. The Biden administration began telling states that this will be the first group of roughly 37,000 people who will be taking shelter and refuge from the disaster that was our intervention in Afghanistan. They have not been given refugee status, which means that they are ineligible for food stamps, cash assistance, Medicaid, and other benefits. And so I believe that a mixture of nonprofits and perhaps private groups will hopefully come together to provide some monocule of aid to these people whose lives we have completely destroyed. It's under my understanding that the reason they have not been given refugee status is because we have made the process of achieving refugee status so burdensome that it takes months, years to go through. And this, of course, needed to happen quickly. And so the only apparatus that we've allowed to have in these scenarios is parole status, again, which is a deliberate choice. And Congress could easily act to waive the burdensome paperwork and time log and just give these families some basic assistance, which is the least we can do after God knows how many members of their family, friends they've watched die because of our actions. During Charlie Baker's interview with Boston Public Radio, he discussed that Massachusetts could be implementing a system to verify a person's COVID-19 vaccination status, saying, and I quote, "Getting to the point where there's a relatively simple process for people to credential the fact that they have been vaccinated will be important for a whole bunch of reasons." New York State has a system called the Excelsior Pass, which provides digital proof of vaccination or of recent test results. It's shocking to me that we have not already invested in this. A vaccination was known to be on its way for about a year now, and the failure to do these basic levels of planning, especially adopting what other states have already done, the template is there, is again a testament to our inaction and our complacency at all levels of our government. It truly is shocking. All right, that's going to do it for today. I look forward to next week's nightly show, getting a little bit more into the nitty-gritty details of the precinct and the ward level data. Maybe my thoughts on what the Wu campaign needs to do to win. Who knows? But with that, hope everyone has a great weekend. And as always, have a great rest of your day.